It's time for Press Review now. Antonia Carrigan joins me in the studio. Antonia, good to see you. Let's start with one of our main stories today, which is, of course, the beginnings of Donald Trump's administration. One thing that's been shocking the press is the president-elect's talk of recess appointments. Tell us more about that.
Yes. So let's start with this piece in the Wall Street Journal about the controversial appointment of Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. This article is entitled Trump's Recess Appointment Scheme. Now, a recess appointment, in short, is a way a president bypasses the need for Senate approval on their appointments to top jobs. That's jobs like Health Secretary, Defense Secretary and Attorney General. Senate approval, according to this article, exists as a check on presidential favoritism. This article also argues that recess appointments are anachronistic. They date from a time when senators traveled to the Capitol on horseback, and as such, the Senate wasn't sitting all year round, so it was necessary for a president to be able to appoint people during a recess. However, this would be a situation where a recess happens specifically so that Donald Trump can appoint people to top jobs without having to get a majority approval in Senate. This article is extremely opposed, saying that such a decision would be unconstitutional, anti-constitutional, it even says. Now, Forbes magazine has an analysis of this recess appointment possibility, and the argument this makes, the thesis here, is that such an idea is unrealistic, that the House and the Senate would both need to agree to an at least 10-day recess, which they won't want to do, this article argues, on the basis that that would throw their lawmaking schedule completely out of whack, even if they are both Republican-controlled houses. It's also widely agreed, this article says, that a presidential decision to adjourn the houses, although technically possible, would be constitutional crisis territory, and that's perhaps not backlash that Donald Trump would like to do, would like to face so early in the game. The Atlantic has this article: Trump takes aim at Republicans, and this is about why he might be doing this. The article points out that the Republicans control both the Senate and the House, and that although many have expressed that they are unhappy about, for instance, the appointment of Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, there isn't a massive outcry of people saying they would vote it down. So why would Donald Trump do this? They point out it's not an isolated example. He's already talked about using what's called impoundment powers, which is a way to get budgetary decisions around the legislature. So the question of why he's doing this, the article doesn't have a particularly logical response in terms of strategy, but it says that perhaps the erosion of democracy doesn't look like, as we might imagine, supercharged partisan warfare, but instead brazen power grabs, in the words of the article, from those already aligned with him, that he's taking these powers away from people who are his natural allies.
Well, let's move on, Antonia, because COP29 continues in Azerbaijan. It seems like a muted affair this time round, also happening against the backdrop of climate skeptic Donald Trump's re-election. Talk us through some of the commentary.
Well, it's already being heralded, I don't need to tell you, as a bit of a failed COP. Let's take the example of Argentina. The radical libertarian president of Argentina, Javier Milei, if you look at this El País article, pulled his national delegation out of the COP 3 days into what is a two-week summit, having submitted the national position of Argentina will oppose any attempt to impose obligations that violate national needs. So fairly combative stance they've come in with, before immediately retreating. And of course, that sparked fears that Argentina might pull out of the Paris agreements. The Washington Post has some reporting on that front, saying that obviously Donald Trump plans to take the US back out of the Paris agreements in January, and that Milei is seemingly considering doing the same, according to their sources. Of course, no one followed when the US pulled out in 2017, but this could be a crushing blow to the Paris agreements and global net zero if the US leaves and other countries follow.
I'm going to stay with the COP. Something that has slightly undermined the summit this year is overrepresentation of lobbyists and underrepresentation of activists.
Absolutely. If you look at this piece of The Guardian, they say 1,800 lobbyists were granted access to COP29 this year. That's 1.5% of overall attendance. And when you bear in mind that the 10 most climate vulnerable countries combined only have 1,033 representatives. So enormous oil and gas lobby presence. And activists have asked to ban representatives of polluting industries, saying their presence so far has delayed climate action. La Repubblica has this piece on the other hand, the activist presence. They say few activists and unaffordable food at COP29. At COP26, 100,000 people protested through the streets of Glasgow during COP. Since then, COPs have been held in places that have been hostile to protesting, Azerbaijan, the United Arab Emirates and Egypt. They say out of the 70,000 COP attendees, only about 100 were activists.
And finally, a National Geographic expedition has discovered something quite extraordinary, Antonia.
Absolutely. This is the world's largest coral, so big you can see it from space. Look at it, isn't it glorious? Nearly 300 years old, near the Solomon Islands, just to give you an idea of the scale. That's an aerial view. You've got the exhibition boat and the enormous coral underneath the sea surface, 34 by 32 metres in area, nearly 5 metres tall. These are an extremely menaced ecosystem, corals, extremely important, one of the most biodiverse, rich ecosystems in the world. There are hopes this discovery will inspire more coral protection work worldwide.
Our producer did point out the fact that if it can be seen for space, why has it taken them so long to see it? Antonia, thanks so much for giving us that update from all that's going on in the press. Do stay tuned to France 24. We'll be right back after the break.